Hello everyone, you're listening to the Fashion Photography Podcast, and as you probably already know, my name is Virginia Yanchuva. I'm very excited today because my guest is also a lady. She grew up in Africa, and probably that's the reason why she's drawing inspiration from the nature. She's gonna reveal some secrets today about relying on natural light, what to do when you disagree with your clients, why renting a studio at first is a good idea, and we are going to discuss the pros and cons on delegating retouch to someone else. She's the person who can tell you why attending workshops is so important. Say hello to Bella Kotak. So can you tell us a bit more about you?
Yeah, so hi, my name is Bella Kotak, and I'm a fine art and fashion photographer based in England.
Where are you from, Bella? Because your name is very, very specific.
So my family is Indian in heritage, but I actually grew up in Kenya, and I lived there for about 16 years, and I moved to England when I was 16.
Do you think that this background has some kind of influence on your art?
I think so, just because when I was growing up in Africa, I was always outside, and I've always had like an affinity with nature. I've always been playing in the, I was always in the garden or in the bushes or somewhere out in the wild, and I think being in England, photography has definitely made me appreciate the natural life in England a lot more. So yeah, I think in a way it has affected my work because after all this time, I'm still very much drawn to nature and drawn to like rich colors. So yeah.
We should also say that you live between Oxford and London, right?
Yeah.
And for those of you who have ever been in Oxford, it's a very lovely, lovely place. Full of nature, right?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's where like some of the greatest storytellers have really come from. Like Alice in Wonderland, the guy who wrote it actually wrote it while he was living here. And, you know, Lord of the Rings, Tolkien, he's from Oxford. And I don't know, I just feel like there's a lot of magic here and there's a lot of creativity here. And the landscape inspires it.
Talking about magic and writing, I was wondering if you have some special connection to the fairy tales and looking at your photographs.
I think so. Just because I think I'm from that generation that's very much Disney loving, grew up on princesses. So even when I was little, I used to love to pretend I was a princess, and then now as I've grown older and being kind of within Oxford and seeing being in nature over here and getting inspired, I think everything just reminds me of a fairy tale. My work has kind of gone that way, and I didn't even realize it. It just happened quite naturally and organically, really. So, yeah, I've always been interested, and it just came out really naturally.
You also work as a fashion photographer, yeah. Not just as a fine art one.
Yeah.
And I was wondering because I first would like to ask you about your retouch. Do you do it on your own?
Yes. So actually, I would say that I edit a photo up to 95%. So everything from compositing a photo to dodging and burning to color toning, that's all me. And then the last 5%, I will send it to my partner. His name is Pradeep Nayak, and he's actually got a retouching company called Solstice Retouch. And so for the last 5%, I'll send the picture over to him and he'll do like just quick skin correction and any color correction that I might have missed. So I like to say that he's like the polish.
This is very interesting because you're my first guest who is actually telling me that another person is taking, because he's not doing the whole job. He's just taking care of the finest details.
Yeah, well, I find that sometimes it helps because, you know, the same way that you would hire a makeup artist to do a beautiful job and hire a hair artist to do a beautiful hair job, it just makes sense to have a retouch on board to just help you with that final retouching. I think there's a lot of pressure on a photographer to be able to just do it all. And if you can have somebody on board that does it better, then your work will be stronger for it. So that's something, that's a lesson that I've learned anyway.
How did you find your colleague?
I actually went to his workshop. So yeah, he had a workshop here in London, and we don't often get very good people coming to teach her. So, you know, especially not back then. So when he kind of put it up on his Facebook page that he was coming over, I got really excited because I wanted to learn and become better at my craft. And so I went to his workshop and we just kept in touch, really.
Do you go to many workshops? I think this is very important. Also very important for our audience who are listening to us right now. But I suppose that when they're here with us today and every other day that they're listening to podcasts or doing something like that, they're actually doing it to become better at this job.
Yeah, I definitely think that workshops are a very good idea. I feel like, especially because you're directly learning from somebody who is within that field, and they are, there is no boundaries between you guys. There's no, that, you know, you're literally in front of them and you can ask them a whole bunch of questions that they will hopefully answer fully, because their job at that moment in time is to be a teacher and they want to share their learnings and their experiences. So I think workshops are definitely a worthwhile investment. I wish that I actually went to a few more when I was younger, just because I would have saved myself a lot of years of self-learning and self-mistakes. So I think if I had the opportunity to go back, I would definitely go to a few more workshops and just educate myself very quickly and bring myself up to speed, rather than wasting time.
Do you think it's time for you to start doing workshops? I mean, when you're
I actually offer my own workshops. So I actually started doing that from last year. No, not last year, sorry. We're in November. I keep thinking that we're in next year. I did my first workshop in, I think, March this year. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it went really well and it was really interesting. I wasn't sure how I would feel about doing it, but I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Were there many people?
We actually sold out. I wanted it to be 5 people, so we sold all 5 seats. Just because for my first workshop, I thought it'd be really nice to have a very intimate setting. Less pressure for myself.
Yeah.
But it was brilliant. I loved it. And I loved seeing how because I still keep in touch with a lot of my students. It was really nice to see how they're growing as well since it.
Was it outside?
Yes, it was.
Did you find the place where you showed?
Yeah, so the day before, I went and did some location scouting, mm-hmm. and just tried to get myself as prepared as possible so that for the actual day of teaching, it would be very easy. We could just set up several locations and get those pictures. And actually, I was really happy with the pictures that we all created that day, because the location turned out to be quite beautiful, and even though it was very cold, it was a very cloudy day, so the light was very beautiful. So everybody had like beautiful lighting just from the natural light in the atmosphere. So yeah, perks of living in England, grey skies.
What we can see from your website and your work made so far, you definitely prefer to shoot in nature.
I do, yeah.
Well, how about the lighting? I mean, do you prefer to shoot on natural light or?
For the lighting, I like to leave everything natural. So I'm quite like, because I've shot a lot now outside, I'm very conscious of being aware of where the light is and working with it. So I always say to people that if they're shooting outside, don't feel limited to one location just because you think it's beautiful. Move and find different angles because the light will change. So it's definitely something that has taken me years to kind of understand, but I feel like there's a lot of freedom in just being able to go outside and just shoot and not have to worry about carrying heavy lighting with you or worrying that you don't have an assistant. You can literally just be you and the model in a location and you can create something beautiful. So
I cannot stop myself but ask, how do you feel in a studio?
So I've actually just finished a editorial that I shot in a studio recently, and I'm trying to get that into a magazine. But I felt good. I wasn't sure how I would feel, but I've shot in a studio now several times and I really like it. So yeah. So I think that at some point, definitely, if I get the opportunity and maybe hopefully get a bit more money, I can set up my own studio and create a series of images through that, because I think that'd be quite exciting.
I think this is very interesting. Do you think that when you have your own studio, you're going to need more? Because right now, I suppose you have the opportunity to rent a studio.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so what's the difference? I think this is a very important issue because of all of these people who are trying to decide whether they should rent or they should have their own studio. And if you're planning to have one, what's your idea of it? It's going to be big. It's going to,
I guess it depends, because it really depends on your work and whether you're more studio or location based. I think initially it's probably a good idea to rent, if only to get an understanding of lighting, to get an understanding of what lights you like and are drawn to before you decide which ones to buy for your own studio space, because there is a lot of options out there. It's good to also rent, because sometimes when the person you're renting it from can help you and they can guide you and they can share their knowledge, and you can
Yeah, true.
essentially learn how to use a studio without paying, somebody to teach you. You can essentially just learn by renting. So I don't know. I think like there are pros and cons. The good thing about having your own studio is that you can have, you can essentially save money on renting, even though you've spent money on investing in your lighting, but that will pay off. You can probably shoot more, because obviously you don't have to worry about, managing to somebody else's time frame. You can just get people over to your place and just shoot there. So it's really up to you. It's one of those things, but I think that initially renting is probably a good idea, just to get yourself comfortable in that environment and used to the lights you like, and get a better awareness of what techniques and I guess that, yeah, lighting and equipment that you naturally love to use.
I was wondering if you use agency models or just really, really beautiful girls.
It's a bit of both. I don't like to limit myself to just agency models or just models. I like the idea of having a girl whose face tells a story, and if she's not represented, that's okay. So like in a lot of my work, of my friend Lulu actually is my muse. Every time I shoot with her, I'm excited. So she's not agency represented, but she knows how to move in front of the camera, and she knows how to tell a story with her body.
Yeah, that's
So
very important.
yes, and especially, for those fine art pieces and those storyteller pieces that I love to create, she's perfect. But yes, for editorials and stuff like that, you're going to need to have an agency model, if only to get yourself published or in the door in that world. Yeah, that's another genre of photography, and for that, you're going to need to have an agency model and a great team on board as well.
Is it easy for you to find new clients as a fine art photographer?
It's interesting, because a lot of the work that's come my way through my fine art has actually come because of my Facebook and my Instagram and my website. So I haven't had to chase any clients. They've kind of found me, which has been quite nice. I think at some point I'm going to have to sit down and chase some more clients, but right now it's been quite nice that everyone's found me quite organically, and hopefully word of mouth will get things going properly.
I wanted to ask you if you find any problems with your clients, fashion clients, I mean,
Yes.
facing this reality when you are a doubter and you do whatever you want in your photograph, and then you have this paid client who wants specific thing from you. Have you ever had this this moment when you actually disagree with your client?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Tell us about this.
It happens. It's one of those things, because essentially, even though they hire you for your creativity, they have a vision in their own mind,
Yeah,
and
always.
always. And it's really, sometimes it's very difficult to combine the two. And you have to essentially say to them, okay, look, because you've insisted, I will do what you wanted to do, but can you give me 5, 10 minutes to do what I want to do? And then you can decide what you like. So a good way is just having a compromise with the client. Sometimes if there's no time and they're really insistent on doing things their way, then you've got no choice. You're kind of stuck because they are the client and they are paying you for your service to realize their vision. But if you have time and if you can be a bit clever very quickly, then do what they want and then also kindly tell them that, hey, look, I literally need 5 minutes. Let me do this because I think you're going to love it. And then do your own thing very quickly and then they can decide.
That's an awesome approach.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering if a client have ever rejected your point of view.
Yeah, they have. So basically, I've had a client and she was very insistent on having things her way. And it was like that the whole day. And it was really painful for me because I wasn't happy with the pictures at all.
Yeah, that's the word. Painful. Yeah, truly.
It was just really hard. I was like, oh my gosh, she hasn't a clue. And she's hired me to do this. She's not trusting me, which is really, really annoying.
Yeah.
And as much as I was trying to be really nice and try and do things both ways, the whole day went by and it was just, we were so stuck on time. And then in the end, she was like, oh, I'm not so sure about these pictures. And I wanted to strangle her because I was trying to tell her the whole day that I'm not sure about these pictures. Are you sure you want to do this? So yeah, in the end, she picked a few pictures and I had to try and make them as good as possible. And I don't think she was happy, but at the same time, I tried my best. And sometimes when someone pushes you so much, you can't do your own thing. So there will be jobs like that. And I think now I know better, like when we're sitting down and I'm having that initial conversation with a client, I know exactly what I need to ask them. And I have to put myself across that, look, this is what's going to happen on the day. This is what you've hired me for. And this is the service I'm going to provide. Because, you know, when stuff doesn't go your way, you just have to take that as a lesson for the next time you have to have a shoot with a client again.
Yeah, sometimes the clients think that you're too artistic just because this is your job, though it's a lot of business, not just artisticism.
Well, this is it, exactly. And I think, you know, if you've got a good body of work and they can see that they know why they've hired you, then I don't understand why they feel they have to take creative control when they've hired you for your creative eye. You know, it's not their creative eye.
Yeah, it's weird when it happens. Last time I was talking to my boyfriend and I said exactly this. I don't know why they hired me when they want everything that I simply don't
exactly.
Do.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
They're like, guys, I've been doing this for longer than you. I know what works.
Yeah. I was wondering, how did you find your first client?
Let me see. That's a while ago now.
She found you, yeah.
So my first ever client was actually to shoot a wedding. This is going back so many years ago. She was wonderful. I was really lucky.
How many years ago? Because no one knows how old are you. And your voice is so nice.
Oh, thank you. So is yours. Yours is really lovely.
Thank you.
It was a while ago. I think it was about six or 7 years ago.
So this was your beginning?
This was right at the beginning. I'd only been, because initially my whole photography journey began because I was taking self-portraits. I was doing that Flickr 365 project. Mm-hmm. And about halfway through, I realized that I wanted to shoot somebody else. I was so tired of shooting my face. So a friend of mine said that, oh, she knows this little girl. And this little girl, you know, is really beautiful and would love to be a model for me. And I was like, yeah, sure. Because at that point, I didn't really mind. I was just experimenting anyway. So I shot with this little girl and her mom loved the photos. And she printed the photos and she had them in her house. And then one of her friends saw the pictures and was like, oh, who took these lovely photos? And then, you know, she was like, oh, this girl called Bella. And this woman was like, well, I'm getting married in a few months. Do you think she could shoot my wedding? So yeah, just like that, I got booked for my first wedding because I did a job for free. Well, I didn't do a job for free, but I shot this girl essentially for free for myself. And I found a client through that. So it's funny, like the stepping stones we have in our lives. So yeah, that's how my first job came about. And the client was so lovely. She loved the photos. She was so kind. And that then led on to another job, which led on to another job, as Edison is, because everyone recommends you. So.
Yeah, everyone is saying exactly the same. When you do something from the bottom of your heart, in this case, it always pays off in future.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
Well, have you ever had a really, really difficult situation with the photo shoot of yours?
I think the most difficult situation I had was with a client that was harassing me the whole day. I
Okay then.
think it was that one because most of the other ones have been very good. That one was the main one.
Okay then, what's your favorite photo shoot of yours?
My favorite photo shoot.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be exactly the image, maybe even the feeling that you had during the photo shoot.
Ah, that's a tough one because I love all of the photos actually.
That's
I think I just
great.
like to take photos because I love creating the photos. Like editing them is a bit like, oh my God. But
Really?
taking the photos, I get very excited.
Oh, yeah, I have a friend who is telling, she's always telling me that taking photographs, that's okay. She doesn't really mind. It's like having a vacation. But when she has to Photoshop them, this is the hell.
It really is.
Because this is the actual work.
Exactly. I have to like create a scene for myself to make it fun. So when I'm photoshopping, I have candles and I have fairy lights on and I have like some nice music just so that it feels good.
Do you have such pleasant things during your photo shoot? Is there something special that you do before shooting or during the photo shoot to comfort your model?
Okay, so sometimes when it's very, not cold, but yeah, sometimes when it's cold or a little bit chilly, I don't know if you know this, but in England we have these things called hot water bottles, and they're basically you just fill it up with boiling water, and it's like this little soft thing that you can just hold, and it keeps you warm. So when I'm shooting outside, and in England it does get a bit cold, especially when you're in the spring or autumn or winter. So basically, 80% of the year it's cold. I like to take a hot water bottle out for the model, and I think that that helps her a lot because sometimes she's not wearing enough clothes. So just keeping like putting a blanket around her and giving her a hot water bottle keeps her nice and cozy until I set up the scene and stuff like that. So that's my little thing that I like to do to keep a model comfortable. Apart from that, I guess if I remember, I like to have music on as well because I think that definitely helps set the scene as well. And the model can get very comfortable very quickly with music because it's all about having fun. And I like to let that kind of energy come through in the photos. And another thing, I guess, is just keep being happy. So if you have a good kind of positive attitude, then the model If she, even if she's having a bad day, she can put that aside and just enjoy herself in this moment in time.
That's very nice of you, the thing with the water.
It's because I feel really bad.
Yeah, I can understand you about that. Usually, you know what? I used to be a photography assistant, and I was looking at all of these girls almost naked, in a very, very cold weather, and I was trying to hurry to get done with my job in order to take their clothes and stay next to him. And when the person who is the photographer, the main photographer, when she stopped, even for a second, I was covering them
Oh, but you have
with their
to.
clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, because it's just too cold otherwise.
That's what we can do as people, because that's human.
Exactly. And it's good actually because not I realized when I was chatting to a couple of my models that it's not like that for every photo shoot. Sometimes I really had to struggle. It's so difficult being a model, especially because some of the jobs, they just don't look after them very well. So
true.
I don't understand that. The picture wouldn't exist without them. So yeah, it's like strange.
You're also dealing with prints.
Prints?
Yeah, people can order print from your website.
Yes, they can.
Can you explain it? How does it work?
Yeah, so basically I actually organize all the printing myself. I've sourced the I actually get everything printed by myself. So if somebody orders from my website, at the moment everything on there is at a specific size. Anything outside that size, you have to get in touch with me about, because I'll give you a different price for that. At some point, I will be offering limited edition prints at a specific size. And I think those are going to be really beautiful, because I'm actually at the moment sourcing the material that I want to print on. I think there's a lot of choice out there, and it's really interesting to me to see what kind of work I can create as an artist, and what I can offer as an artist as well. So yeah, at the moment everything on my site is kind of available for print, but at a particular size, and if you want something, then just get in touch with me and I'll sort that out for you.
That's great information, thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, what do you do? We order from your website and you're printing it and then you have to ship it.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have any problems with that? Because to me, it sounds very complicated.
Oh, I don't at all. Because where I live, there's a post office right near my house. So it's very easy for me to send that off that way, like to ship the items. And then also for the printing, the chap who prints my work for me, so like I'll take the files to him and I'll sit with him and we'll sort out the color toning and get it printed perfectly. He doesn't live very far either. So for me, it's quite nice to go and just have it done personally, because I think that at the moment, all the orders that come my way, it's really nice to be able to say that I've done this for you, because it's, I don't know, it just means a lot.
Is there a signature?
No.
Oh, why? You should have a signature there.
Saving the signatures for the limited editions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. So at the moment, if you want me to write a little note, I'll write a little note.
Oh, that's very nice. Awesome.
Yeah. If you want, basically the limited edition pieces will have a signature and a little certificate as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It's normal. I think that's the law. So,
yeah.
You already mentioned something about inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there is a source of inspiration for you. Except your model.
Honestly, a lot of my inspiration comes from nature. I get really, really excited about colors and changing seasons. It's something that I think hasn't changed for quite a few years, and I'm quite happy about that, because everywhere I travel there's always something new, and I get quite excited by especially the changing seasons. I think I like this idea of change and the idea that something is constantly evolving, and that if I don't capture a scene right now, then it won't be here in a few weeks or in a month or two, and sometimes it goes away and never comes back. So for me, if I see something beautiful, I always feel like I need to create a story right here, right now, very quickly, because this would change and it might not come back next year. So yeah, I would definitely say nature. But then also, I read a lot of stories. So I'm always excited about things that I'm reading to how they would translate into a picture as well. So yeah, nature, books. I get inspired by a lot of art, because I always have been. I used to be a painter before, so even now when I go to museums and galleries, I'm always looking at how the painters have like worked with the lighting in a picture, and I like to just try and learn a bit so that I can apply it to my own work when I'm editing it. So yeah, little things like that really all feed into the greater picture.
Is there a project coming up?
For me? Well, let's see. At the moment, I'm working on this series called In Bloom, and it began last year, and it was all about this young woman coming into her own womanhood, like coming in bloom to her own womanhood. And I was thinking about what I wanted to do with this series and what I wanted to do with this project as a whole. And I like the idea of building up on it. I didn't get much of a chance this year because I was traveling so much. But I think next year, I want to work on the before and after of the, it doesn't make sense, but I want to work on the, like, basically her as a really young girl and pictures of her maybe becoming a little bit more mature, maybe falling in love, maybe having a child. And I don't know, I got really excited about that.
Well, thank you very much for this interview, Bella. It was my pleasure. I hope you have all kinds of opportunities for new projects and lots of more and more inspiration.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this. It was really, really lovely talking to you. And yeah, keep up the great work.
Oh, you too. For all of you who are listening to us right now, you can see more of Bella's work on Bella.
You can see it on bellacotech.com. So,
thank you. And also on neverlandmag.com. Here you can hear our conversation and also see some of her best images. Thank you, Bella.
Thank you. Honestly, it was such a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You already know why going to workshops is so essential. So I guess here is the time to tell you that on 14th of May, Bella is having a workshop in London. You can find more information about it on the show notes, where you can also find link to Bella's work and link to my work. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave your honest review on iTunes. You can also let us know by commenting on our Facebook page or Google Plus community. Both are called the Fashion Photography Podcast. There you can also let us know what are you excited about right now and what are you struggling with, so we can discuss it on Friday and hopefully help you with it.